Most of you probably saw on social media last week that last week's podcast, we had the most downloads for a single podcast that we have ever had. And I think that that is very telling of what is important to our listeners. Last week, we talked about the battle for your mind and how our marriages are being fought for by God, and there's spiritual warfare going on for our marriages. The enemy wants nothing more than our marriages to fail. And in today's podcast, we are going to talk about how can you fight for your marriage? How can you get beyond the battle of your mind and knowing that God is for marriages and He wants our marriages to be amazing and to succeed. And so how do you go about fighting for your marriage and by making sure that you have the marriage that you've always wanted? Stay tuned.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to another episode of the Redeemed Marriage Podcast. This is Rusty and Heather Bryant. We've got a great topic today that's going to follow up on last week's discussion that we had about winning the battle of your mind. And so we talked about the demons that are just attacking us and how the enemy attacks us and just wants your mind to just fall into this gutter and fall into this pit that you can never get out of, especially when you've had some sort of trauma like betrayal or addiction or pornography or, you know, of course,
just any kind of hurt.
Any kind of hurt. And in our situation, you know, we were just coming from a place of the brokenness and the devastation that we had because of Heather's infidelity. And so we're going to give you some real practical ways that you can begin to fight that battle. So sort of set it up last week just talking about the battle of our minds, and it was obviously a huge topic for our listeners. And so we want to really just go back there to give some practical advice and steps on how to fight for your marriage and get to a place where you can truly say, this is the marriage that I've always wanted.
Yeah, you know, I, when thinking about some of the comments that we heard and people who reached out and things that were said to us about last week's episode, I don't know that a lot of people have in their mind that this is an area where there is a battle going on. The enemy, you know, it says in scripture that he prowls around like a roaring lion. He wants nothing more than to devour our marriages. And when we can keep things in the darkness, when we can keep things hidden, or even once things are exposed, if we can keep the fact that we're struggling and that our marriage isn't what we want it to be, if we can keep that in the darkness, then it's not going to be dealt with. And what God wants is for us to bring that into the light. And so last week when we were talking about the battle of our mind, I think a lot of people claimed that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people were like, oh, yes, that's exactly what's happening in my marriage. Maybe they know that it's happening because it has been, you know, after a hurt or a betrayal or an addiction or anything like that, they're aware that that's happening. Or for the first time, some people were like, we haven't been through anything major, but yeah, there's some hurt in our marriage and some disappointment in our marriage. And the enemy is fighting for my marriage just as hard because he wants to destroy those. And so I was thinking about and was telling a friend today about the light. And there's a scripture in Psalm 139. It is Verse 139, verse 11 and 12, it says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. So you're saying, like, I want to keep this in the darkness and surely no one will see it. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So even our darkness, even the things we hide, even the things that we conceal, those are not dark to our God. And when we can say, okay, we're bringing those to the light, we are going to bring these before the God who sees. The name for that is Elroy, That's a name of God that I've learned, Elroy, the God who sees. And so let's bring those things before him so that we can, so we know how to battle for them. And so I just was so encouraged by a lot of the comments and conversations that we've had, because I think there's a lot more people out there that are battling their mind in their mind than we care to admit, or that other people care to admit. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't listened to that, I suggest going back and listening to that one first and then coming back, because today we really want to give you some practical ways on how to fight to make your marriage better, how to fight those battles in your mind. Mm.
Yeah, that's good. And so we wanted to try to make it something that you could remember. And so we came up with five P's. And so we're going to go through those five P's with you today. And you can jot these down, or maybe you'll see them in the show notes or whatever. But we want you to just be able to refer to them. So as you're learning to fight for your marriage, the first P that we want to encourage you to do is to pray for your marriage. And it just seems like something that we talk about a lot, but the reason why we talk about it is because we, just like Heather said, we know how important marriages are to the enemy, because he wants to destroy them. And so in order to fight that battle, you have to pray for your marriage. And, you know, I saw a quote actually today that said, prayer may not always immediately change your spouse, but it always changes you. And I think where we get messed up sometime with prayer and praying for our marriage is that we just think we're supposed to pray that God will fix our spouse. And so we're constantly bringing this laundry list of items that we think is wrong with our spouse, and we need for God to change those things. And look, there are plenty of things that you can pray about and pray for your spouse and pray that things improve in your spouse, for sure. But what you really are praying for is you're praying for your heart to change. You're praying for your marriage, and you may not, your prayers may not change your spouse immediately, but it's always going to change your heart. And it's going to change your heart the way that God wants it to change. And so as you're fighting for your marriage and you're fighting this battle, this spiritual battle, you need to be on your knees praying for your marriage, praying for your spouse, and praying for your heart. And if you need an actual guide on how to pray for your spouse, you can go to our website, theredeemedmarriage.com, and up on the banner, just click on the banner at the top, because you can actually get a downloadable one-page guide that will show you exactly how you can start praying for your spouse. Very simple, very easy to do, but it's such a huge part of the preparation and the process of fighting the battle for your marriage.
Yep.
All right.
You want me to tell them number two?
Sure.
Number two.
Make sure you say
the right word.
The right word.
All right. Number two is to prepare. Prepare.
Prepare. So, you know, if you are doing anything big in your life, you have to make a plan. And, you know, if it's, I mean, we're talking about fighting, but, you know, I'm not a fighter, and I don't really watch like
boxing
or MMA or anything
but
like
that.
But
you do run.
I do run, but I was thinking, you know, those fighters, they have to prepare for their fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's not like they just all, I have watched Here Comes the Boom. With Kevin James,
yeah,
but
and Henry Winkler,
yeah,
is that his name?
Yeah, yeah. But even with them in that movie, you know, it's not like Kevin James just all of a sudden stepped out into the ring and was able to fight. He had to actually prepare for the battle.
Yeah.
And you know, I was thinking, because like you said, I'm a runner, so I was thinking about the times that I've prepared for like a big race, if it's like a half marathon, because I've run several of those. And I always go on the internet and I print out a workout plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's usually about a 12-week, 16-week plan. And it's, you know, it tells you which days that you're supposed to run, how many miles. And, you know, it even, I mean, you're even talking about like how much more sleep you're supposed to get, what you're supposed
when to
eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of that is such a huge part, because there is a plan. Like, you're never going to be successful at something big unless you actually have a plan for it. So this P is prepare, or maybe it's just plan, mm-hmm. but you have a plan. Yeah. And sometimes that is going to somebody else to help you to make a plan.
That's right.
And, you know, we've had, like the times that we've done our half marathons, we didn't come up with that plan on mm-hmm. our own. Like somebody that actually knows what they're doing came up with, you know, same thing with your finances. You know, you don't plan for retirement on your own. You go to a financial planner that can invest your money in the right things and do the right things for a certain amount of time and, you know, all of that. But you don't go to somebody, you go to somebody that knows what they're doing and that's been there before. And part of that is the exact reason why we do marriage coaching, because we have lived this. We have journeyed through infidelity. We've journeyed through the devastation of a trauma in marriage, and we've made it on the other side to a place where we truly do have the marriage that we've always wanted. And so sometimes it's reaching out for help. It's finding mentors. It's coming up with a set of, I don't know, maybe it's two or three things that you're like, I have to change this area in our marriage, or our marriage is never going to get better. But, you know, it's identifying the weaknesses that you have to work on, and you identify them, you make a plan to, this is the areas that I'm going to improve and make better. So whether that's your physical intimacy, whether that's, you know, you serving your spouse, you know, finding out what their love language is, there just has to be a recognition. You can't just wake up and go, all right, you know, 3 months from now, I'm planning for our marriage to just be the best it's ever been. And then 3 months later, getting out of bed and going, all right, well, how'd I do? You know, there has to be a plan and a preparation, and these are the things that I'm going to do during this time as I'm fighting for my marriage. Okay, let me just keep on rolling.
Yeah, keep rolling.
All right. So the third thing is to actually perform. And so, you know, it's a P word, so you can remember.
And practice.
Practice, perform, I guess is kind of the same thing. But it's actually taking that plan that you have come up with and that you've developed, and you actually do it.
Can't just stick it up on the fridge. You remember when I did that one time for a half marathon? I printed it out and I put it on the fridge, and day one came and it was still hanging on the fridge. It was about day three, and you were like, hey, you ever going to start this thing?
Yeah, you got to actually start your plan.
That's right.
You have to start the preparation. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, then it's just going to sit on the refrigerator and nobody's going to get any better. And so, yeah, there's a performance aspect of it, to where you have to do the things that, you know, that you've been instructed to do. I mean, look, it's like, you know, so we're in the middle of reading these marriage books. So we're doing one marriage book. It's our marriage reading book challenge for 2024. We're reading these marriage books. And I mean, if we just read the books and then close them and think, oh, that was nice. I mean, okay, this is good. That was a great book. But then we don't ever do anything about it, or don't, you know, implement any of those changes, then we're not making any progress. And so I think that that's so important, that like when you're listening to podcasts like this, or when you listen to a sermon, or you hear somebody teach on marriage, or you do marriage coaching, or, you know, whatever it is that you're doing and you're preparing, that you're actually going, okay, that is a great idea. Mm-hmm. And I know that if I implement that in my marriage, then it's going to change and improve my marriage. And so you make note of that. You say, this is a goal that I have. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try this for the next 4 weeks or whatever. But then you actually have to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do it, you're never going to reach your goal. If you don't take that running plan that's on the refrigerator and follow it and do what it says, well, when it's time to actually run the half marathon, you're going to die if you're not prepared and you haven't been actually performing and practicing what the plan was and what you put into place to be the plan.
Yeah, and you know, while you were talking, I thought about two things that in the practice world or the performance world, that there are two things that came to mind. That one, there's always going to be something that gets in the way. You know, there. You take your running example. You might, you know, have shin splints, or the weather's bad, or there's going to things that come along the way in your training that get in the way, but you just have to keep pressing forward. So it's not like, okay, here's my plan and now it's going to go perfectly. There's going to be bumps in the road along the way, and that's part of it. And then the other one, you got to talk about what you did or do, but I played basketball. And I can remember practicing and going up to the gym with my dad and literally shooting free throw after free throw after free throw after free throw. And then he would, you know, say, get on the 3-point line and go around the horn. And I would, you know, he would pass me the ball, and just shooting over and over and over and over and over again. And so practice is not always fun. Mm-hmm. Like some of these things that you've decided needs to be put in place, some of them, it's hard work. Some of them don't come naturally. Some of them you have to get out of your comfort zone to do. Sometimes you have to do things that maybe you don't want to do until they become a habit or until your mind and your heart changes about those things. So just when you're thinking about what I need to put into practice to make my marriage better, they're not all going to be easy things. Mm-hmm. And even when things come up, that's okay. You just keep working.
Well, you know, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about how overwhelming it can be to somebody that's just in a place where everything seems so out of whack in their marriage and everything seems so dysfunctional. And it's like, where do you even start? You know, there's just too much, and like, I can't change it all at once. And so I would even suggest that maybe you think of, and this is the thing, it's hard for us to give like specific, like do these three things because it may be something that you're great at. And so you don't need to work as hard on that area. You know, there's other things. And so what I would just encourage you to do is maybe just pick three things, like just and find out, you know, but here's the other part of this. You need to know your spouse well enough to know, well, I need to work on three things that actually matter to my spouse. And so that's when, you know, we talk some about the love languages and knowing what the love languages are. But like, I'm just going to throw out some examples. So maybe one of yours is that you don't communicate well. Like, you and your spouse just don't have the emotional connection of communication. Well, what that needs to change, and you need to find out, what can I do and regularly practice it to make sure that we're connecting with communication and we're connecting on an emotional level. And so maybe that's just, all right, you know what? I'm going to make sure that at, you know, 9 o'clock at night, whenever it's, you know, when it's just us, kids are in bed, whatever, I'm going to at least ask the question, you know, how was your day today? Is there anything that you need from me that I can help you and serve you better? This could be something as simple as that, and just make that a part of your regular everyday habit. You know, I was thinking of another thing of just being present, because I know a lot of people, they come home, they get on their phones, you know, maybe you lay in your bed at night and you just are scrolling on your phone, you're not paying any attention to your spouse. Put your phone away. Like, make that your goal, that you're gonna be present when you're at home. Maybe it's, you know, I need to serve better. Like, I know the things that are helpful to my spouse around the house, and so I'm gonna make sure that I do, you know, A, B, and C, and make sure that those things are taken care of so that my spouse doesn't have to worry about that. You know, maybe it's, I just need to be more affectionate with my spouse. I need to hug more. I need to, you know, give non-sexual touch more, or whatever it is. So those are just a few things. That these are the type things that we're saying, have a plan, know these one, two, or three things that you can do to start working on, and then you actually do those things. You perform, you practice, and you know, after 3 weeks, 4 weeks, see if it's made a difference. And if it hasn't made a difference, maybe you need to ask your spouse if you're working on something that they right. don't even care anything about, mm-hmm. you know?
That's right.
And again, this is not, we're not saying that all of this is about you, that you're trying to fix everything on your own, but you can't control your spouse. So we're giving you some real tips and tools of what you can do to start the process. Because most of the time, your spouse is going to see the difference and see the change, and they're going to want to jump in and come along beside you.
That's right. That's right.
All right. You were looking at notes over there. Did you find anything you needed to...
I was looking for the next one.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The next P is be positive.
Be positive. Okay. So part of this is just because it is so easy to just get down when things aren't going great.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just knowing, you know, we've heard it said that marriage is a marathon, it's not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And so recognizing that you're in this for the long haul, it helps to remember that so that you can stay positive, because every day is not going to be an improvement. Mm-hmm. And as you're working hard, the enemy's just attacking more and more, because the last thing he wants to happen is improvement and yeah. betterment in your marriage. And so as those, you know, as you're getting attacked, it's so easy to just, oh, it's never going to change. You know, this is too much work. This is too hard. And, you know, it's just like if you're those times that we've gone and prepared for those half marathons, man, there were so many days that it would have been easy just to be like, oh, I don't want to wake up early, or I don't want to go run, you know, 5 miles today. I just did 3 miles yesterday. You know, why do I want to do another? But if you stay positive and you think, man, the work that I put in today, you recognize and understand where it's going to get you towards your goal. And if you slack and you miss a day because you're being negative, then it's just going to take steps backwards, and you're not going to be moving forward like you need to move forward. So there's so much of it that's just a positivity. It's just having a positive attitude about the change and about the battle that you're fighting, and just staying upbeat and ready to take on the next thing that comes.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking while you were talking that there's so many like I can think about like a weight loss journey, and you lose some weight and you're feeling good and you're like, oh, this is working. And then you slide and the weight comes back on, and then you're like, oh, this has got to change. So then you go into, okay, let's do this. And you try again and you lose the weight, and it's just this back and forth and back and forth. And I feel like there's probably a lot of people that feel that way about their marriage. It's like, okay, I'm going to work really hard and we're going to do really good and we're going to do date nights and we're going to, you know, and they get into this position to where they're like, okay, things are better. Things are good. We're communicating. Our physical life is great. You know, we're doing better. And then things, you get busy, or, you know, something happens and you start sliding back into old habits and not putting each other first and not praying for your spouse and all of those things. And so there's probably people out there who have been through these seasons where it's good and then it goes bad and then it's good again and then it goes bad. And it's like, I'm just tired of doing this. Like, I'm tired of fighting this battle. And I was thinking about the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, where God asked them to walk around the wall 7 times. And he just told them one at a time, right? Or did he tell them 7 at the beginning? I think he said 7 times.
Yeah, I think he told them how many times they were going to have to walk
okay.
around it.
So they walk around the wall, I mean, banging their, you know, well, first they're just walking around the wall. And they're like, there's this element of, this is not working. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm doing what you're telling me to do, and it's not working. And then they walk around again, and then they walk around again. And you know the people, because the people inside knew they were trying to take down the walls, and they're probably going, what are they doing? Like, you know, what are they doing? There's no, like, they're just walking. And then they keep going and going and going. And I just wonder, like, I start thinking, what would have happened if they had quit after six times? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what if they just were like, I'm tired of walking around this wall. I know God told us to do this, and I know it's honoring him to obey, but I'm tired of walking around the wall. Nothing's changing. Mm-hmm. And then on that seventh time, you know, they do the trumpets and make all the racket, and the walls just tumble. Mm. And I just know that there's people who are listening who they're thinking about this pee, and they're like, I'm tired of doing it. I'm tired of being positive. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of, I'm always the positive one. I'm always the one trying to pull my spouse along and trying to make things better. But don't quit on the sixth time around the wall, because you never know what's coming. So you stay positive. You stay doing what God has called you to do and has asked you to do and has given you strength to do, and stay positive in that, knowing that the walls will fall.
Well, that actually just is the next P as well, because it's persevere. And the perseverance part of that is actually putting the positivity into practice, mm-hmm. because the positive thoughts is just remaining upbeat, remaining positive, but then the perseverance is actually continuing. It's this is a marathon, just like what you said. It's walking around the wall one more time. It's, you know, it's doing all of the things and not giving up. And, you know, I like what you said about not giving up, because there's so many, you know, we see it on social media all the time when people make comments about, you know, couples that have been through infidelity. And you just, the gut reaction from so many people, it immediately is like, oh, there's no way. You know, there's no way. I would never stay with a spouse that has cheated on me and betrayed me. And you know, I mean, we were speaking with a couple just this weekend, couples coaching, and you know, they said, you know, you have this idea about how you're going to respond in a situation like that, until it really happens to you. Right. And then you just don't know. And I mean, there's people that are listening, they're like, oh, I know what I would do if that. But what if? I mean, can we just say, what if we had given up?
That's right.
You know, so there are people, I think there's people that listen to this podcast that you have made up your mind that you would never go mm-hmm. through something like that. But can I just say, but what if we had given up? Because not only would our marriage not be what it is today, but then we wouldn't have this amazing God story that we're able to share and give hope to people, not just people that have been through infidelity, but you who are listening to this that just need some help with your marriage. But you can look at ours and go, oh my goodness, well, you know, if they were able to survive that, then yeah, there's hope for what I'm going through. And everybody has problems in their marriage at some point. You're going to go through seasons. And just to be able to look at a marriage that has literally walked through the worst of the worst and know they stuck it out. They fought through, they persevered through the worst of times, and now look where they are. And so, you know, we were just talking about this before we came on today when I said, you know, there's nobody can argue our story.
That's right.
And, you know, our story is not the same as other people's stories. And some people, it is just not possible for them. You know, we can't talk to everybody when we're talking on the podcast, but we know there are situations that don't work out, and they mm-hmm. can't work out, and they shouldn't work out. Mm-hmm. We 100% know that. But there's a lot of you out there that are just wondering, should I fight one more day for my marriage? And we're saying, yes, fight one more day for your marriage, because if you persevere, you can get one day closer to the marriage that you've always wanted. And we want to show that to you. We want to be that light, that beacon of hope for you, and that example that if you follow these steps, if you do these P's, that you can get closer to the marriage that you've always wanted.
Amen.
All right, mic drop, brother. Right? All right. So, hey, thanks so much for listening to us this week, guys. Love for you to share this with family and friends. Let them know about our podcast. That would be so helpful to us, and it gets our message in front of more people and gives us the opportunity to give more hope to more marriages out there. So we'll see you guys next week.